Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. As a Christian, grace and peace are essential things we must seek for, as there is a limit to how much we can acquire and achieve by our own strength and might. There comes a point in every Christian's life when you realize your limitation and see that it is only God who can lift and exalt you. In our message this Friday, Bishop Dag will teach you examples of those in the Bible who walked in the grace and peace of God and how you can attract the same blessings. What God can do for you is greater than what you can do for yourself. God only gives grace and help to those who humble themselves, so today's message will give you keys to unlock both of these qualities in your life and ministry. Get ready to receive more grace and peace as you listen to today's word.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you and we appreciate you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Peter 1. And we are looking at a deeper walk with the Lord. Amen. Now, 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now this is the most popular salutation of the apostles, grace and peace. And I think it is because they are spiritual men. And they are ministering the will and the word of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. All grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Amen. Now, most of us today don't value certain things. But as you go along, you must learn to value the right things. We must value what God values. And you will find out that in the long run, when you value what God values, you will find out that what God values is better than what man values. You find out sometimes people look out for certain things. Oh, when I'm going to get married, I want to have a man who is short, a man who is tall, a man who is fat, a man who is thin, whatever. And then later on, when you get married, you find out that whether the person is fat or thin or brown or white may not be what really matters. Amen. Amen. Can I have some volume and also an amen?
Amen.
Volume and then amen as well. The two. All right. Now, grace and peace are two things we must seek after and seek for. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Why do we need grace? Why do we need grace? We need grace because we are limited in our lives. When I say limited, I mean, it gets to a point in your life, whatever you are doing, wherever you are, where you come to realize that what you are trying to do, you cannot do. Or, all of us have limitations. You understand? Like I'm a preacher, but I can't preach in tree. I wish I could preach in tree. It's a limitation. Yeah. If I could preach in tree, I would really, really preach in tree. Sometimes I look at people who can preach in tree, and they don't want to preach in tree. They want to preach in English. It's a wonderful thing. Are you there? Yeah. So I'm limited. I wish I could preach in Spanish. I have the whole South American continent to preach to. But I can't. The nearest I've come to is to say one or two words. I wish I could preach in Ghana. But I can't. I wish I could preach in Elwes, so I could preach very well in Lomé. But I'm limited. We are all limited. But if I had an American accent, if I preached to Americans, they would maybe receive me better. But I don't. I have a Ghanaian accent. So I'm limited. I wish I had more money. I would be on television in every country in Africa. If I had more money, I'd be on television in Ghana. But as you can see, we are not on TV anymore. If I had enough money, we'd be on TV every day. Because to have a good effect, you need to come on every day. So I'm limited. And so are you. You get to a point, you realize that you are not educated enough. How many have realized you are not educated enough? It gets to a point, you realize that if your father had had some more money and maybe taking you to Europe as a child, at least you would have had an old passport with a visa. And it would have helped you today. But he didn't. Or maybe if you had been born over there, maybe it would have helped you. But you were not. Your father had been stricter when you were growing up and not allowed so many boys to come to the house. It could have saved you from two or three problems. So you realize that you are limited. You can do well, but you get to a point, you realize that you are not up to certain things. And so that's where we need what we call the grace of God to lift you up. And I see God lifting you up. Amen. You try to do business. You realize it gets to a point. The business can go up to a point. Beyond the point, it's not going. It's not working. And you realize you are limited. Maybe you want to do certain things and you realize that women are not welcome in that area. And suddenly you realize that you are limited. Maybe you want to do certain things and if you were a woman, you would be able to break through. But now you realize that you are limited. So we all come to a point where you realize that you can do well, but there's a limitation. Peter had his limitations. Amen. Amen. Peter had his limitations. Everyone has his limitations. And that's why all through the Bible, they start their greeting with grace. Because what God can do for you is greater than what you can do for yourself. Even as a pastor, when I look at my life and my ministry, I realize that it is almost sometimes the things we have done, almost as if they are accidental, that have worked. And some of the things we have done, planning, trying to do, have not worked. Some of the things that have turned out to be the best ideas, we stumbled upon them virtually. We were just groping in the darkness and we come into them. So ladies and gentlemen, you can sense more and more the need for, you can sit in front. Is there any Asha who is thinking around there to guide the people to sit? Okay. You always get a point where you realize that you need the grace of God. Maybe you are a woman, you are married, You realize that you are good at this. But I realize that when it comes to other things, Uber good. You are not good. It's a good message. Maybe you are good at dressing nicely, combining your colors. Today I'm wearing red and white. White shoes and a red dress with a white hat and red and white ribbon with a red earrings and a white ring. To match. Another day you are good at wearing blue and yellow. But when it comes to the kitchen, a certain man went to have a bath. And he said, he was going to bath. And I don't know, he was giving a testimony. He said, and when I got into the bathroom, I think he was a visitor in somebody's house. He said, when I got into the bathroom, there was the don't touch me. Do you understand the don't touch me? It's a type of soap. Don't touch me. Don't touch me soap. I always remember when he said that, because he said, and there was the don't touch me. Because there was no other soap there to bath. So we always come to a place where you see, there is the don't touch me. Don't go there. There's an issue we don't touch, we don't talk about. This area, there's a problem there. See, there was the don't touch me. Tell somebody, there was a don't touch me. How many realize that there are areas, there it is. It's a don't touch, don't go there area of our lives. He said, I went there and there was a don't touch me.
Preach.
How many realize that there is a, Bible said Naaman, he was a captain. He had won many wars, so many things. But there was the don't touch me. The leprosy was there. I said, but there was the don't touch me. We are all limited. Peter was limited. And he saw it when he saw Paul's writing. He said that, and he was lucky that he was able to accept Paul's teachings. He said that some people have been wrestling with Paul's writings and teachings as they wrestle with other scriptures. Because Paul has written many things which are sometimes difficult to understand. And he, Paul, Peter, he was without, even though he was the rock of ages and the rock of what and what and what, he was able to only write one letter. But Paul the blasphemer, came and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. He wrote for us Hebrews, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, apart from the Gospels, and then James, Peter, and John, everything else is Paul. And you can see that Peter, a bare raps, a bare words to my Paul. I mean, look at Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Chapter 14 has 40 verses, handwritten. 15, it goes up to 58. And there's 16. And 2 Corinthians, and Peter, 2 Peter 1, 2, 3, finish. 1 Peter 1, 2, 3. Eta, that's all, the words are finished. And you see, that he was limited. How many realize that you are limited? And that is where the grace of God comes in. And so he said, grace and peace be unto you. Be multiplied unto you. How many want the grace of God to come? Now, how do you get the grace of God? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Is the choir here? Are you ready to sing that song for me? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, the Bible tells us. And then when he sees a humble person, he gives the person grace or assistance and help. When I see myself preaching in a place like Korea. Pastor Silas, can you see me preaching in Korea? In the largest church in the world, in the pulpit of somebody who can be my father, and that of all the people that have been invited to Korea, including Americans, this, that, they have selected me and said that you preach in the main church service, in one of the main church services. It's the grace of God from Collegono. What do you think about that? Because I'm not an American. I'm not American. When I found myself preaching in Los Angeles, in Bishop Blake's church, and you see, one day I was coming to sit down and he said, he was pointing, I think he was telling me either I should use that mic or he was telling me something. He said, son, use the other one. You see, when he says son, I said, look, this man can be my father. That's why he says son this way. And there's no young, I couldn't see at the conference, there was no young person like my. The choristers were elderly women, grandmothers, and you see them jamming, getting down, booging. And here I was preaching. It is by his grace. Because where my limits get to, you see, are up to a point. Then beyond that point, you get it. Then something else takes over, and that thing takes you to a place in the natural. There's no formula that you have that can take you to that place. Look at the family that you have in your life and see where it can take you. You look at your background, your education, where you are, how you are, how things are, and how far you could go. And I can tell you, you see that it's up to a point. But from that point to the next higher place is something we call grace. And that's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God. He said, even my work, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which worketh in me. It was the grace that was working, and I see the grace of God working in your life. God has a plan to take you from that family and from that situation and make you a new person in your household. You see, in every family, God sometimes selects one person and blesses the person in a special way. Receive that blessing in the name of Jesus. Abraham had a family. He had a father. He had a mother. He had relatives. But God said, you, Abraham, come out from your family. Come out from your house. I'm going to do something with you. And he left his family. He left his house and walked out into the wilderness. And God said, I will show you where I am going to take you and the land that I'm going to give you. And he made a mistake of taking one of his relatives who was not part of this blessing. His name was Cousin Lot, Nephew Lot. And Lot became a whole. Most of the problems Abraham had in the first phase of his ministry were due to this person he had carried along to the place that God was blessing Abraham. Until he got rid of him. And sometimes we are carrying people because we often think things are in a group. It's like we. Look, never think of yourself as a group. There's no group anywhere. You and God. It's not a matter of we are all doing this, we are all doing that. You are an individual, and sometimes God will choose this particular person. So don't be worried if you sense, and I feel his blessing here, you know. Don't be worried if you sense that God is choosing you. Do you mind being chosen by God? God is choosing you. God is raising. God is separating you. God is going to change your life and the course of your life. Don't be worried. Don't think that if it's not all of us, it is not from God. No. Why did God choose David? He had seven brothers. Abinadab, Shammah, Eliab, and other unnamed brothers. And yet he chose the little one. God is choosing the little one today. It's called grace. You see, the limits to which David could have gone in his life were already marked out. These are the soldiers. These are the seniors. The inheritance double for the firstborn. And then we share up to number 8. His future was already determined. He had been left in the wilderness with lions and bears. Lions and bears. And he had been told to look after the sheep. If you sent your child somewhere and he came back one day and told you that a lion came there and almost killed me, will you send him there again? But David, he was sent there. He said, go back. Go back. Go back. You think we came to where we are by just being lazy? Get there. So a lion almost killed. Shut up. Get there. Oh, I'm there. Go and die. You are the youngest. How many of us are rejected by men? When I look at my life, I've never been chosen to be a leader. Never. Class prefect. Maybe I've been a class prefect. I don't remember ever being a class prefect. Cupboard monitor, blackboard monitor. Never. They never chose me. Because I didn't look like a leader. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tradition, the natural Ghanaian, I don't look like a leader. Although I'm a leader. I've written books on leadership.
Powerful one.
Do you see? Yeah. Nobody chose me, but God chose me. Where man wouldn't take you, God has a way of picking you like that and placing you there. So, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. As you humble yourself, one of the signs that you are not humble is quarreling. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. One of the greatest signs of pride, or the absence of the humility which brings the grace of God, is quarreling or conflict in your life. And you must decide that I am going to put an end to fighting and to quarreling and to bickering and to not talking to this person.
Preach.
And not flowing with this person.
Preach.
And not flowing with this uncle. And happiness when you hear bad news about somebody. How can you be happy when you hear something bad? When you hear that, oh, this has happened, John the Baptist is in prison, you say, I knew. You see, how do you preach this kind of message against Herod and others? You would die before your time. When they heard he was in prison, when Herod was killed, Jesus was very sad. Ladies and gentlemen, instead of having a conflict, hatred in our hearts towards people who are our rivals or people whom we esteem as equal to us, let us rather have love for them, Christian character, where we hope and pray for their benefit, that they will do well. Anytime I feel in me that I'm happy about some bad news, I know that I have a bad spirit in me. As soon as I tell you, and all of us have competitors and rivals. I tell you, all of us. If you are a pastor, there'll be pastors like you. Of your age group, your type of church, whatever. If you are a bishop, there'll be other bishops like you. If you are a woman, there'll be other women like you. If you are young women, there'll be young women like you. If you are old women, there'll be old women like you. If you are a child, there'll be other children like you. If you are a businessman, there'll be other businesses like your business. There are always people like you. And many times when we hear news of people who are
like us
in our category, we don't think of a good thing, but rather we think of something negative that you see. I knew. I heard of some church having a problem. It saddens my heart. Anybody who is happy about it is not a correct Christian. Because it's not a good thing for us. It's not a good thing for anybody. Never for even one second is it a good thing for any of us. So check your heart. and ask yourself, do you rejoice when you hear of the good news that is happening with this person? Pray for it. Even Samuel, when he was rebuking Saul and telling him, look, you are rejected by God. Saul said, please pray for me. And Samuel said to him, I will not sin in not praying for you. In other words, in the same breath that he was rebuking him and telling him, you are a castaway, you are being rejected by God, God is finished with you, he continued in the same breath and said that, God should help me, that I will not sin by not praying for you. I will still pray for you, Saul. But I have to tell you the truth that you are some way, but I'll pray for you. You see, that's a different attitude. Galatians 6:1 says that if any man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should restore, not sack, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Well, when you are correcting somebody, do it carefully and consider yourself, because you may be surprised that you are guilty of the same thing or something worse. Oh, it's a good Christian message. I'm not preaching about how for you to get money, but I'm preaching about things that are in the Bible. Grace, that's the name of the child that we just dedicated. Charis and Irene. These are wonderful names you can ever give to your child. Grace and peace be multiplied. Peace, perfect peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that's why the apostles, writing to the churches independently, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, all of them, he said, grace and peace. That was his salutation. May there be grace with you and peace of God with you. He didn't say, may there be new jobs and marriages and weddings be multiplied unto you through whatever. No, if the grace of God is with you, the weddings will come on. The jobs will come on. The contracts will come on. The visas will come on. Because God will lift you up and God will bless you. And peace be multiplied unto you. Oh, peace. The absence of conflict is at least one great step towards peace. Have you noticed in Africa why we cannot build much? Because a conflict zone is not a place where you do much development. Nobody can build. Even David wanted to build a house for God. And then the Lord said, no, 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 you fight too much. You fight too much. You can't build. You're fighting all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us the fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. Of them that make peace, James chapter 3, the last verse. The fruit of righteousness, if you want to bear the fruit of righteousness, you need an environment of peace. Yeah. And fruits of righteousness are sown by people who make peace. Yeah. And those seeds are sown in the environment of peace. Yeah. Yeah. Is it a good message?
It's a happy message.
Do you want to have peace? Yes. Do you want peace? Yes. Grace and peace. You can't do much without peace. Yeah. Look at Cote d'Ivoire with all their infrastructure and their roads. You know, when you are driving from Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana, when you get to the Ghana, you don't, if you like, what I'll tell you is close your eyes. Okay, just close your eyes. And then tell we are going to do a test. When we get to the Ghana road, I'll open my eyes. You see? You don't have to see the border to know that you have crossed into Ghana. When you get into the Ghanaian side, you will start to see how the car begins to shake and bounce differently. Then you know that you've got to Ghana. Then you can say, I vote that we are in Ghana. When you open your eyes, you see that you are in Ghana. That's how to know whether you are in Ghana. Ziza. Or even if you are coming from Lome, all you have to do is, you can, if you like, you can bet to the person that I can blindfold, I can wear a blindfold, and I will tell you when we get to Ghana. Coming from Lome, Togo. When you get to Ghana, and you start to hear the car, Go.
And so I want to vote that we have reached Ghana. Correct for 3 points.
Then you've won your bet. In spite of their good roads, there's no peace. Ghana has peace with bad roads, but we have peace. Peace with bad roads is better than conflict with good roads. Because when you have the conflict and the good, you can't drive there. You can't go to that place. It's a good message I'm preaching about. You've got a good road, but you don't have peace. The rebels in Cote d'Ivoire are sitting in the middle of the country. It's just like Jericho. Bible said, none went in and none came out. Nobody goes in, nobody comes out. The country has been divided into two. If you are a man, come. If you are bold, come. You will hear the sound. You realize that you are now playing your harp in heaven. You are with King David. The Bible tells us that it's better to have a little morsel with peace than plenty without peace. How many people have gone searching for things? They got the things, but they lost their peace. How many people live in whatever mansions, but there's no peace in that house? One brother moved into a big house, and he said, since I moved into this big house, I have never enjoyed peace. He said, I want to go back to my small little room where I used to live with my family because I had more peace in that small room. Since I had this big place, I have no peace. I felt so sad as I looked at his beautiful mansion, but no peace. Another person comes driving to church in his beautiful air-conditioned car. But no peace. No, they are not talking in the car. Because there is tension. There's quarrel. There's problem. Beautiful car, but no peace. That's why he said, grace and peace. One day I saw somebody who was fighting. I said, look, if I give you 5,000, I said, go and buy peace. 5,000 and come. You can't get it. That's why Paul blessed the people. Said, grace and peace. Because you can't buy it. You can't get it. It's not sold anywhere. It's a special thing to have peace. Do you know that there are more divorces in the church in America than in the world? Huh? Yeah. Marriages, you see them coming. One day I saw a certain couple, they came to church, they were wearing brown. You see like how this brother is wearing brown? Then the wife was also wearing the same brown. Then another time they came to church, green. Like the offering, lift up the offering basket so they can see. Green. I think that day they were wearing something green. So I said to the pastor, I said, hey, pastor, you have this nice couple in church. They always have combination colors to move around with. And the pastor said to me, you don't have an idea. These people, he said to me, as we see them wearing the green, they don't talk. And I said, how do they not talk? Some people are in the house for 7 years, they don't talk. Don't say, hey, in this same community I'm talking about, don't behave as if you don't. Why do you behave as if you don't know what I'm talking about? I know some of you behave as if this message I'm preaching, you're all looking at me quietly as if you don't understand what I'm saying.
You're preaching good.
I won't change my message. That's exactly what I'm saying. We need peace. I said, we need peace. Ceasefire. I said, ceasefire. Peace. Beloved, come before the marriage, the troubles and the quarrels. You see people that are in relationship. Today, this. You wonder that these people cry. If they go into the marriage, what will happen? One wife, she looked at the husband and she said, you at all, when will you have peace? You are poor, when will you have peace? Ask the person next to you, you are poor, when will you have peace? Are we going to have peace from now? Do you know how peace comes? Peace comes by turning the other cheek. That's how peace comes. Peace doesn't come by rewarding cheek for cheek, eye for an eye. If you remove my eye, I will remove your eye with the eyeball and the sockets. You have slapped me, I will slap you and I will kick you so that you know that whatever. You have hurt me, I will hurt you so that you see. You won't talk to me, I will show you whose face is harder. You shall see from today that when I declare unto you that I shall never smile at you, you shall see my face harder than stone. What needless pain we bear, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God. We are prayerless. That is why there's no peace. Because if you pray, there's something we call peace that passes understanding. You don't have money, but you are at peace. You don't have a car, but you are at peace. Things haven't worked out. It's called peace that passes understanding. I mean, there's no understanding or basis for you to be at peace, that you are at peace. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I said, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he has. Never think that your peace is going to come because of things that you own and things that you have and things that you hold. That is not what makes people happy. Look, let me tell you a secret. Don't tell them I told you. Will you keep it between you and I? Should I tell you? Listen. Don't tell them. Will you tell them? You see, our brothers and sisters abroad in America, London, yes. Germany, yes. Toronto. Uh-huh. You people have far more peace than
yes.
them.
Yes. It's true.
I know. How many can't believe it? How many can't believe that you have more peace than somebody in London? How many think you have more peace? How do you know that you have more peace? You haven't been there before. From the preaching. You don't have money, but you have peace. You are happier. You are cooler. Your dress that you are wearing is your best. But you're okay. Manage to change 1212 and you'll be flowing in it. You get it? Yeah. You've got some shoe, you just put something on it, then it changes this and this color, then you change it, 1212, then you are moving, easy. Every dress goes with a black shoe, or? That's it. I said, that's it. It's a good message. Some people have so many things to change, they can't even find their things. They can't even find them.
Problem of choice.
But there's no peace.
Mercy.
I saw a certain brother one day. I said, where is your wife? She has left me. I have not met anybody in Ghana who has gone to call the police to catch her husband before. Only abroad that I see. And it's a common thing that you see that the wife has gone to call police to catch the husband. To arrest my husband. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you have somebody who has been arresting a husband in the house? Ghana here, you are going to call police, sergeant, whatever, to come and arrest your husband. For what? They will not even mind you. And the problem will pass. But abroad, you will see church members,
The police, this husband has run away from the house because the police are looking for the man, and the wife is in the house, and she's been married. They say, I take thee as my whatever. I shall, whatever, to be my husband and my wife. I say unto you, whatever, I love you, I love you. And, oh, then you see that they call 999, police. Can you save me from my husband right now, please? My husband is trying to kill me. I've never seen it in Ghana, but I've seen it in Lighthouse abroad. Not once, times. Ziza. That's why I said, don't tell them what I told you. I'm just telling between you and I said, you have more peace. When you add your money, you are just earning small, but with peace. One day I saw a brother, I told him it would have been better you didn't come there. He said, Pastor, it would have been better. It would have been better if I didn't come here. So thank God for peace. And don't exchange peace for anything. Amen. If you are going to get married and you don't feel peace, stop. Some of you beloveds always quarreling. It's a sign. Because the quarrel of your relationship is the quarrel of your marriage. You will quarrel about it and multiply it once as the years go by. It's a good message. I know it's a good message. It's a Christian message. Grace and peace. Receive grace and peace. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. That is why I love the bookshop more than the meat pie shop. Because grace and peace does not come through meat pies and Mata Guinness. Neither does it come through Domedo and Farm Trophy. Grace and peace. You want peace? How many want peace? Buy a Christian book and start reading. You will have peace. Let the book help you to read your Bible. You will have peace. Grace, Bible says, be multiplied to come to you through the knowledge. As you listen to tapes and listen to preaching, knowledge, grace, peace will come. It will come to you, I promise you. It does not come through democratic elections. It does not come through coup d'etats. It does not come through revolution. It comes through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and grace. God's help. May God help you this year. And may He help you next year. And may His hand be upon you. And I know that you are going to make it in the name of Jesus. How many sense that the grace is coming upon your life? How many have been quarreling before today, but you have decided to stop the quarrel? Raise your hand. If are you formed in quarreling? And that's why you were quiet when I was preaching, you see. It's a good message, but the way they were quiet. I was calling your mobile direct, isn't it? So you now, you were shivering in the chair. Yeah. Gas. Especially girl women. Girl women. And there was the don't touch me. The quarreling spirit. She's beautiful. She's fresh. She's voluptuous. She's juicy. But there was the don't touch me. That was the quarreling spirit. That was the cantankerous spirit. That was the ill-natured spirit. Never peace and never give up on an issue. You will contend to the last day fighting. Why? What is it? You made yourself in. Yeah.
I told you about that. Eh? Somebody, they were witnessing to him. And they said, he told him that you have to be saved. You have to give your life to. And he said, yeah.
Can go into heaven, can show heaven gate, and Peter can ya hell, makelake, ya hell, makelake, le go ya hell.
You are taking your fiery spirit to the gates of hell. Hey, what is wrong with you? Grace and peace. I said grace and peace. Why don't you have a tranquil spirit? Calm down. Cool down, allow yourself to flow, and without debating. And it's like you are taking an issue for 7 years. Somebody is dead, you are still angry with that person.
It's a nice message.
I can't, Peter, okay. Well, with Peter, okay, me, okay. Yeah, hello.
It's serious, so. Pastor Silas, it's a very serious thing. It's a serious thing. Okay, our time is up. Let's go. Tell somebody grace and peace. How many are going to accept to be peaceful, please?
Peace.
Peace, Lord. Give us peace, Jesus. Lift your hand and ask the Lord for peace, Lord. Give me your peace, Lord. Let me be peaceful, Lord. Help me to forget and to leave the things that I want to fight about. Peace like a river. The wind of your spirit.
Draw like a fountain.
away the lack of peace and the conflict and the quarreling and the hatred and the unrelenting pursuit of issues that never die. Save us, O God. Give us the peace that we lack. May grace and peace be multiplied to us, Lord. We ask for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for peace at home, peace at work, peace in school, peace in our families, Lord. Peace everywhere, Lord. And thank you for grace, Lord, that abounds towards our life as a great blessing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Please pray for me. I don't know Jesus. I don't know if I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. Please pray for me. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray. Just lift it up high. Pastor, pray with me. I want peace. I want Jesus. I want God to come into my life. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see all your hands. If you've lifted your hand, come to the front. Come to me here. I want to pray for you right here. Come from the back. Come from the front. Come from the side. Somebody brought you. Somebody invited you. Maybe you came in the bus. Come to the front. Come to Jesus. Holy Spirit, let your fire, prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I realize that I am a sinner. Say it out loud. Lord Jesus, today I repent and I come to you just as I am. Have mercy on my soul. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior in the name of Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.